Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 9th, 2020. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Did you hear the sound of that shofar? You need to heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, of course you can call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, text me first. My cell phone is 316-619-4886. I say text me first because all of the crazy robocalls. Anyway, you can always find updates and breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. Remember, we're a national satellite radio program with simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube, on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base worldwide in places like Helsinki, Finland, Budapest, Hungary, Vienna, Australia, and of course, cities in the good old United States, Indianapolis, Indiana, Newark, New Jersey, St. Louis, Missouri, and of course, Wichita. You did it again. You beat them as for the largest group of listeners when our programs go to podcast later tonight. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Boy, that was a lot of information in just a short period, right, folks? Anyway, prayer, and we'll bring on our guest. Dear Heavenly Father, tonight, Father, I pray radio really goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth, Father. So please, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, folks, it's time to have one of mine and your favorite guests back on with us. First, we're going to ask him about what he thinks about this whole Iran thing. It's been kind of a crazy week, and I'd like to hear what he's got to say about it. Not real in-depth, but what he's got to say. But last time when he was on, he said he let something out. He said his new book coming out very soon, it was going to address several things, but he also put that word UFOs in there. Right, so, well, you know what, folks? Today, MUFON, which by far is the best UFO reporting investigation organization in the world. In fact, they're even called by our government to do investigations. So right now, there are so many happenings all over the world. MUFON said that they received 384 sightings in the United States in December. That's not including around the world and what wasn't reported to them. So what are these things? Carl surely has an opinion. Anyway, Pastor Carl is a best-selling author. He's senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host. He's heard nationally and internationally all over the world. He's TV and radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. He's the founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl has written 10 books now. The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message and the Identity of Messiah, Gods of the Final Kingdom, but his newest book is still yet unnamed or not ready for release. So welcome, Pastor Carl.
Pastor Dan, it's good to be with you and your audience. Hey, you've got me pumped up about it. I'm excited. I can't wait to hear what I've got to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, brother, you're such a you. It's not a question of I started to use the word spin, but I don't mean spin. You put things in a good and even if it's things we should be really seriously worried about, you put the good part on it too. You know what I mean? And so, I don't have to worry about what you say, unlike a lot of people that just speculate out of nowhere. Because of your law enforcement background, I believe that's why you are so thorough about making sure you back things up with facts. And that's what I love, because I'm a fact guy.
Thank you. Yeah, me too, brother. Thank you. No, I do. And the disclaimer is, just because I back it up with other people, scholars, scientists, biblical scholars, historical records, archaeological records, etc., that see the same things I see, that doesn't mean I'm right. It could be that they're wrong, I'm wrong, we're all wrong, we're all partly right, partly wrong, you know. But the point is that when I do examine these things, it's kind of like a criminal investigation, you know, that I did for years. You just collect whatever evidence you have, you collect whatever witnesses you have, and you start developing a theory as to who might have done it and what's going on. And so, you know, I do that at the theological level. Now, I really think that, you know, as Christians, we have a great advantage because we have the Word of God. And if you interpret it in context, and boy, that takes a lot of work, and a lot of Bible students just don't want to put in that work, or they don't know how to do it. But if you take the Word of God in context, examine a topic out from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, connect all the dots, then, of course, go to the scholars, the classical scholars, those that wrote 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. Go all the way back. Take those, then look at the modern scholars. Look at the modern research. Look at the modern language studies. We've learned so much more about the Word of God and its connection. Since the discovery of the Qumran text, the Dead Sea Scrolls. So once you do all of that work and you put it together, and then if it applies, like this whole topic of UFOs does, if it applies, then look at the most modern science. What about physics? What about quantum physics? What about astronomy? What about, you know, space exploration? What do we know and what do we not know? Anyway, you put all of this together, then you can speak intelligently about what you believe. And so that's the disclaimer. I mean, ultimately, I have my beliefs, but it's not stuff I just pull out of my back pocket. It's not stuff because I watch some science fiction movies on TV. It's stuff that comes from the contextual connection of the Word of God coupled with 2,000 years of biblical scholars, what have they seen, coupled with the most modern science and physics understanding we have, then we can draw some conclusions. And that's what I do in this coming book. And I want your audience to know I've got 4, 5, 6 chapters dedicated to this phenomena of UFOs.
Oh, really?
But it ties into the whole theme of the book. And my book, the whole book is not simply about UFOs. It's about all of the angles of deception that Satan is using, because the Bible clearly says this is what he will do, or that we can speculate he may be using because the Bible seems to point to it, as it does with UFO being demonic activity. So anyway, brother, I just want your audience to know that, yeah, what I've written is scholarly. That is, I back it up with a lot of good evidence. But it's written at the level that anybody sitting in a pew that reads, you know, can get it and understand it and hopefully enjoy it. I try to use a lot of illustrations and even a little bit of humor along the way. But anyway, you know, you've read most of my books, brother.
Right.
You know. And so anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about this topic because there's a lot of confusion. But, brother, bottom line is, it is now totally acceptable to speak of UFOs from interdimensional or even demonic realm, or if you're a total unbeliever in God's word, it's totally acceptable now to talk about UFOs as us being possibly visited by something that's not of earth, because now the mainstream media, in fact, 2019 was the year, And that's the title of some mainstream article I've got quoted in my book. 2019 was the year that UFOs became okay to talk about in the mainstream. And they are. And I just have a feeling, since I know the prophetic times we're living in, I have a feeling, and I back it up with tons of scriptural attestation, scholarly attestation, and scientific attestation. I have a feeling we're being set up, brother. I think there's something very demonic behind this, and I think it's going to tie into the rise of the Antichrist. I really do. Now, I could be mistaken, and I say that in my book, but I do put the evidence before the reader and let them make up their own mind.
Okay. Well, I'd like to go on right now, but I want to hold this off for a minute because I want to ask about something else.
Yeah.
First, and then I want to devote the rest of the program to that.
Okay.
Because it is really important. It's a really important subject. Anyway, but first, let's back up a minute. And what you were saying just now, one of the most important things that I pulled out of your disclaimer was, and this is something that I'm about, is there so many Bible teachers and preachers that I've had a problem with them all of my life. I call them scripture pickers because they will pick out a piece of scripture and it will not be in context, and they based a whole sermon or a whole book and everything about it, and everybody in the world seems to, well, not literally in the world, but you know what I mean, expression, seems to, jump right on it. But it's all out of context. It doesn't mean what it says. And if they just read it, maybe even just the whole chapter or the whole sometimes paragraph, they'll understand that it doesn't. That's a big thing. What do you think about that?
No, I agree. You and I, see, brother, I'm not trying to blow smoke in your ear. We've been together on radio now for years, and our hearts are so together on so many things. And I know you might disagree with some understandings that I have, and so I want to make that disclaimer for your audience. I'm not claiming that you believe everything I believe, but you're right. I mean, listen, brother, what you just said has been a great concern of mine as well, which is why I have devoted my 35, 40 years of teaching, preaching the word, writing the word, media, radio, television. I've devoted these decades to trying to be, with God's help, as contextual as I can be, to be as accurate as I can be, and to always say that, look, okay, here's my position, and here's why, and here's the evidence that I have, but I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong, or I could be partially wrong, because when we're dealing with the end of time things, and when we're dealing with prophecy, when we're dealing of manifestation of demonic spirits in the last days, it hasn't all been manifest before our eyes yet. Prophecy hasn't been 1,000% fulfilled, so we cannot really know every little jot and tittle. We know enough from the Word of God to know generally where things are headed, but that's the reason why the Pharisees missed Jesus Christ as the Messiah, because they had their own little box of interpretation. They refused to look outside that box. They just listened to the traditions passed down through the years. And so here's the Son of God standing right in front of them. Not only do they not see him for who he is, regardless of the evidence he's presenting, the miraculous evidence, but they crucified him, brother. In the name of God, they crucified the Son of God, thinking they were doing God a favor. So you're right.
That's just heavy. And I've seen a lot of that. And now I'm going to ask you this, and we can deal with it until, I don't know, we got about 7 or 8 minutes until break. But after break, I want to devote the rest of the program into the UFOs and what you have to say. But this week, as you know, I don't know about you, but on my end, I got all kinds of emails and things because the next day we were going to be in World War III with Iran, and there are prophecy people jumping up and saying this is this and that. And the first thing I did was look at it and say, we could be in a war possibly, but the problem is there's some things that aren't fulfilled yet that I don't just, they were taking it out of context, so to speak.
Yes.
So what kind of words do you have? What is Pastor Carl's opinion on what happened with Iran this last week?
Okay. Here's the deal. I want to go back and give an example. of how I see these things and how I speak to these things, and an example of how I said something decades ago that now has been proven out to be exactly what I said. Not that I'm so smart, but I know what the Word of God says, and I just follow the headlines, and I follow the Word of God. So, look, back during the 1990s, 1990 and 1991, the Gulf War, you know, the Scud right. missiles that Iraq was shooting under Saddam Hussein was shooting into Israel, and the mother of all wars. You remember all of that. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when cable news, CNN, I don't think Fox was even around then. If they were, they were very, very young. That's when we, the first time ever, we saw acts of war live as it happened. 24/7 live coverage. And so anyway, I can remember when all this was happening that when we responded with our attack, it was on a Wednesday night. And I can remember that the whole United States, really the whole world, but the whole United States was in such tension that churches were bringing television sets into the sanctuary or into the fellowship hall, and people were gathering around it on that Wednesday night, and people were praying, of course, and it was, you know, and preachers were preaching about the prophetic connections to all of this, because Israel was being missiled with
right.
scuds. And I mean, and so people were asking me, where's the scripture that shows us this? And what I told them then is, look, the Bible is not a Ouija board. The Bible is not an eight ball. It's not a magic incantation book. You know, sometimes something happens and you can go straight to a verse and a paragraph and say, oh my gosh, it looks like this is what we're looking at. But sometimes it's in a general fashion of biblical truth about the prophetic unfolding of our times. And so I remember telling our church, look, there are passages that I could pick and choose, and a lot of preachers were doing it back then. And I said, you could pull out this or pull out that and say this is that. I said, I'm not going to say that. But I said, just look what we know about the Word of God. And I'm going to bring this up to Iran in just a minute. But this is important. This is important. I say, look, so you've got Iraq, which is a part of the old Babylonian Empire and a part of the old Persian Empire, under Saddam Hussein, who thinks he's the resurrection of Nebuchadnezzar. He thinks he's rebuilding Babylon, and he used to say that. And he is now attacking a returned Israel, which back then had only been a nation for about 50 years, 45, 50 years. And I said, and the Bible is filled with prophecies about these ancient empires in the last days and their resurrected states forming alliances to attack Israel. There is in the book of Psalm, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah. I mean, you find these things there. And so I said to them, look, I'm not going to pull a verse out and say this is that. But I said, but here's what I want you to remember. How can this not be prophetic? How can it not be tied to prophecy with the ancient resurrection, if you will, of Babylon and maybe even Persia attacking a returned Israel in the Middle East, and we're the first generation to see the returned Israel. Now we're watching this happen. Now, that was back in 1990. And I said, folks, we got to keep our eyes on this. You've got to remember, prophecy doesn't always come to its fulfillment overnight.
Yeah.
Just like when the baby Jesus was born, it was 30 years later before he started his ministry, and then it was 3 years later before he went to the cross. 33 years from the time the baby was in the manger to the time when he went to the cross and rose from the grave. So I told him, I said, be careful about this, but how can it not be prophetic? Well, jump up to our day. Then you have Arab Spring. Then you have the collapse of the Middle East. You have Syria collapsing into an irreconcilable civil war. Russia, that puts Russia in Syria. That brings China out of its hole and puts them on the Horn of Africa. Then all of this happens. Now you've got Iran in cahoots with Russia. Now Iran is attacking the U.S. Embassy, which causes a response from us. All of that's connected to North Korea. Iran and North Korea are big buddies. Turkey's trying to fall into an Islamic caliphate. We got all of this tension, all of this unrest. There sits little Israel, now there for 71 years, with Jerusalem restored as the capital, the Golan Heights declared the lawful possession of Israel, Israel declared a real nation in the world, all by President Trump. I mean, how can this not be prophetic? How can it not be? Iran is the modern-day term for the ancient term of Persia. In the 1930s, on every map, every globe, every school book, that area of the world was still called Persia. And then it was renamed to Iran in 1935, I think it was. So here's the bottom line, brother. So you see, now, but what I said about Saddam Hussein shooting Scuds, how prophetic that was, in a couple of my books, I think the latest one was When the Lion Roars, I actually documented that the New York Times, this liberal left-wing newspaper, without even knowing what they were doing biblically, they wrote a lengthy article. I quoted from it, and I documented it in my book. You can still get on the Internet and read the whole thing. Even they said that where we are now, including Arab Spring and the collapse of Syria and the bringing of Russia and China into the Middle East, it all began. The New York Times said this. With Saddam Hussein shooting Scuds into Israel. The New York Times said that. So decades later, my words were actually confirmed of all places by the New York Times. So, brother, the bottom line is I see the same thing with this. I'm not willing to put my finger on a verse and say this is that, but I am willing to say this is ancient Persia rising up against the world, against Israel, the United States, and it is shaking. They're shaking the world. I don't know, you know, right now it's calmed down, but eventually, the Bible says, there's going to be a coalition that erupts in the Middle East, and it comes against Israel. I hope that gives some perspective, brother.
Well, that does, and let me throw a couple of comments in there. Number one is, and they did, Iran threatened, they said that if we fired back after their so-called attack on our, on, you know, with the 10 Scuds that four fell to the ground or whatever, they said that if we retaliated, they were going to retaliate on Israel.
Yeah, they did.
And so that was major. That's what I saw. But my point to the whole thing is that, yes, the Arab Spring, when I saw that, I was watching the end times rearrange the Middle East for what was going to happen in the future. Absolutely. But I know this enough from reading my word that there are certain things that have to happen that will just, well, yes, at some point there's going to be a coalition. That coalition isn't together and ready to completely go against Israel. They are still in the putting together stage, so to speak. And so I just did not believe that we would flip into World War yet because I didn't believe my Bible was telling me that.
Yeah. No. Well, no, and I agree with you, and I have also tried to help people understand that, look, the Bible does speak of a world war. Now, you can call it World War III. Who knows? It might be World War IV. I don't know. But the Bible does speak of this huge coalition of nations in the Middle East along the Euphrates River, and 200 million people die and all this. And, of course, that's in the book of Revelation, and, of course, it's the sixth trumpet. And so you've got all these divisions among Christianity as, well, is that pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib? And we don't have to worry about that because that's pre-trib. And, you know, listen, I don't get into all of that. Right? I mean, there's just so many different interpretations. What I say is, there will be a generation on the face of this earth that sees a World War III scenario in the Middle East. And when you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, it tells you the exact nations and territories that will form the coalition, and they will come against Israel.
We got to go to break. Folks, go see Carl Gallix at carlgallix.com. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
ask you, Lord, to bless my mother, praying for me. Give to her your special blessing, staying on her knees. Mother's prayer can move a mountain and cause the blind to see. Cause I have had some mountains lately, these blind eyes were open for me. Thank you for the faith you gave her to lay me in your hands. It's only by your gracious mercy before you I can stand. Mother's prayer can move a mountain and cause a blind to see. I have had some mountains lately, these blind eyes were open for me.
Folks, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. We're having a really great program tonight with Pastor Carl Gallitz, but just give me about 2 minutes and we'll get back to him. Folks, yeah, the holiday season's over with, and yeah, we had some really great support and things during the holiday season, but right afterwards, donations always go through the floor. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We are really the last hope for so many. And folks, all of us, we are responsible to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. I know you enjoy and learn from our guests, so radio is really not free, and donations keep us on the air. We're not just a podcast, we are on the air. Now, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can call and give a donation over the phone, and you can find all that information on prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with one of our favorite guests, Pastor Carl Gallops. Are you still with me, brother?
I am. One of my very favorite radio programs to be on. Thanks, Pastor Dan.
I wouldn't know why. I started on shortwave, and then I got on this station in 2004, and I just love it. And you've been on for a very long time. I got you when you did your first book.
Yeah, I know. I remember it. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
You knew me when I was but a mere child.
Yeah, well, at our age, we can't. I wish we were mere child. Yeah, anyway, moving right along.
Yes, moving right along.
Yeah, we have renewed energy. Renewed energy, that's what it's called.
That's it.
Okay, so. Okay. Anyway, now then, yeah, we were take us into this. The reason I picked the UFO thing anyway is I was talking about some experiences I had, and you know, with that great ball of lightning like thing, and with a hand coming out of it, in fact. But the point is though, in that conversation, you brought up that in your new book that you were talking, was talking about UFOs. Take us into that. I can't wait.
Okay. Well, look, and I encourage your folks, of course, to get the book. It'll be out in March. I wish I could give the title. I'm just a few weeks away from being able to give it. So next time I'm on, if you have me on, I'm not trying to be all, you know, like you're going to have me. But
yeah, I'm going to have you on, Carl.
Okay.
We won't talk about who I conspired with in your, you know, your little repertoire to get you on the rest of the year. But
okay.
You're definitely stuck once a month at least.
Okay, unless I say something really stupid tonight, so I'll be careful, all right?
Yeah.
Well, we've been doing this for a long time, brother. You know my heart and mind. But the bottom line is, if they get the book, they can see how I build to these chapters. And again, this book is not only about, and it's not all about UFOs, but that is a portion of this great, deceptive, prophetic time in which we're living. Listen, guys. We live in a fake world, and here's what I mean by that. Now, don't panic. I'm not saying this isn't real. It is. But, I mean, look, there's fake news, fake videos, fake audio, fake artificial intelligence. The word artificial means fake. Virtual reality. Well, that means it's not real, and
right.
and it's fake. Fake governments, fake elections, fake education, fake science. Look at the pseudoscience, right? Climate change, man-made, evolution, abortion. An embryo of a human is not a real living thing, but but a single-celled organism found on Mars, we would declare that life. I mean, you know, fake science, everything, fake news, deep state, fake governments. I mean, think about how fake this world is, and think about the young people that have never known anything but this. They've never known anything but internet and cell phones and fake news and deep state mind control. So that's the world, that's the masquerade that Satan is running right now. And the Bible told us he would do this. And listen, he's doing it inside the church as well, and as well as in the fields of science, as well as in the fields of government, as well as in the field of societal politics, in other words, societal operation. Brother, it's getting horrible, and Pandora's box has been opened. We're not going to put the toothpaste back in the tube. I mean, we're getting close to the return of the Lord without setting dates. You know I don't do that. So now, how does the potential of UFOs fit into this? All right, if you'll allow me, I'm going to bring some shocking stuff to your people, but let me just give a quick history. We have records that, and by the way, everything I'm going to say is fully documented in my book. So if people haven't heard some of this and they think I'm making it up, I promise you I'm not. All right, but as far back as 1400 B.C., 3,400 years ago, we have very reliable historical archaeological evidence of famous people, philosophers, military leaders, historians, writing about seeing phenomena in the skies and in the heavens all around the known world of that day. I'm talking about great military leaders that saw, some of them reported seeing flying objects in the sky battling against each other. Brother, this is 1,000 years before Christ. They didn't have flying machines back then. What were they seeing? And they were watching wars. And I mean, it's documented. Historians document. We've got this information. Now, that in itself doesn't prove anything. But the point I'm making is, this is not something that's just new to our culture or new to the last 100 years or just to our nation. This is a worldwide phenomena that's been going on to one degree or another for over 3,000 years. So when we use the term UFO, your audience knows, you know, that just simply stands for unidentified flying objects. So they have invented a new, relatively new term. It's called RUFO. That stands for residual UFOs, residual unidentified flying objects. And the reason is because a lot of UFOs, are there UFOs? Are there objects that fly in the sky that are sometimes unidentifiable? Yes. And then they later turn out to be military secret stuff, or maybe not even a secret thing, just your eyes playing a trick on you with a regular airplane or something, or swamp gas, or all of these different weather balloons. I mean, those things truly have turned out to be. Some of them are hoaxes. Where I live on the Gulf Coast in Pensacola, Milton, Gulf Breeze, Florida, that you remember that?
Yeah,
the big hoax with the flying saucer. This is before internet was big and before all the video graphics that we have now and all the editing materials. But this guy literally created some kind of a UFO-looking thing, filmed it, videoed it, and it looked so real. It went all over. He got international attention, and it went for years. And you know, and people were all coming down to this area. They were going to the beaches, looking into the sky, hoping to see it. And it was he made it. It was a model, and he faked it. You know, so are there UFOs? Yes. But residual UFOs, these are those sightings wherein there has never been a proper explanation, scientific or otherwise. There's never been an identification. And oddly, most of these residual UFOs, not only have they never been identified, but a lot of them defy what we know about the natural laws of the universe. They defy physics. They defy common sense. And these are the freaky things that people are focusing on. And if you're not a believer in God's word, then people say, well, there must be life on other planets and they're visiting us. Of course, that begs the question, well, if you say there is no God and these beings created us, then who created them? Where did they come from? I mean, you know, and people ask me all the time, well, what if we discover there really is human-like life on other planets? Won't that shake your faith? And my answer is no, because the Bible tells us that God is the creator of everything. Nothing that is created has been created without the hand of God. And the New Testament says, without Jesus Christ, and in Him all things hold together. The universe is just a part of what God has created. It's not, I mean, God doesn't live in the universe any more than you and I live inside of a computer. We invent the computers. We give it artificial intelligence. We program it and the computer works, but there's no little man running around inside the computer. The person that invented the computer lives outside the computer. Well, the Bible says God lives outside the universe. He created the universe and everything in it. Now, modern day scientific physics and quantum physics tells us that there probably are multiple universes, as many as 10 or 12 or 15, some say as many as 20 or 30 universes that connect to one another because of what we know from quantum physics. So, having understood all of those things that I just said, now the question is, what do we do with these things that defy physics? And so, up until just a year ago, we could talk about this and people say, well, listen to those crazy preachers, listen to those conspiracy theorists, you know, surely there's an explanation. But now, in this last year, videos were leaked from the United States Navy that go back for 5 or 6, 7 years where they've been tracking fighter jet pilots, videoing and tracking aircraft that are absolutely defying gravity, defying the laws of physics, defying every law of the universe that we know, and our own Navy has now had to admit officially that they have the evidence, they have the tapes. They don't have a clue what it is, that there's no technology on the face of the earth that they are aware of that is anything like that. They cannot explain it. And now they're quick to say, we don't believe it's people visiting from other planets, but we don't have a clue what it is. Now, I oversimplified it, but again, I've got it all documented in my book. A lot of your people have watched all of these programs on TV. This is the year when it has now become fashionable to speak of this. Now, what I'd like to do, if you'll allow me, I want to quote 5 or 6 reputable people. Several of them are Christians, and they are known reputable scientists and biblical experts. some of them are secular. They're not even Christian, which makes what they say even more astounding. May I do that for a minute?
Yeah, absolutely. But I just, I'm putting out a warning to you. Let it be known that we're going to tear apart your next book, brother, when you get it to me. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah,
thanks, you're so kind. I can't wait till you get it, because this is just a piece of it. But it does tie to the whole topic of what Satan's up to in these last days, brother. All right. Well, let me just share some of these things. So I quote 5 or 6 or 7 people in these chapters, and there are many more like them, but these are some examples. So Dr. Hugh Ross, he's got a PhD in astronomy. He's got an undergraduate degree in physics. He's the director of a ministry called Reasons to Believe. He's written all kinds of books. He co-authored a book with Dr. Mark Clark, who is a professor of political science and the director of the National Security Studies Program at California State University. So these two guys, it was also, by the way, that book was also co-authored with a gentleman by the name of Ken Samples, who is the vice president of philosophical and theological apologetics at Reasons to Believe Ministry. So these three guys alone, who are Christians, who are, have the PhDs, who are professors and authors and scientists, they wrote a book called Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men. And I'm going to give you just a quote out of it, okay? A couple of quotes. They're just unbelievable. It says, amid a host of diverse and often confusing facts and opinions about UFO phenomena, at least one point of agreement stands out among physical scientists, social scientists, behavioral scientists, and students of the Bible. That is, to pursue truth wherever it is found, but anything that is directly or indirectly linked with occult power or secret knowledge, stay away from it. And then they go on to say, most people think that UFOs are physical. Now, they're talking about our UFOs, okay? This is their whole book. They make it clear. It says, but they can't be physical, says Dr. Ross, because they defy gravity. Now, he wrote this book before the Navy came out with video evidence that that's exactly what they've been tracking. So he says, what the evidence suggests is that our UFOs are capable of producing physical effects, like burnt grass, etc., but they are not physical themselves. And then he goes on to talk about how that is one of the ways to determine that these things are not of this earth, because they defy everything that we know about space and time and energy and matter and dimensional laws. And he goes on to say, and I'm paraphrasing right now, but he goes on to say, look, he says, there's nothing in the physical realm that can account for this phenomena now that we know what we know and we have videos of it. We've got the Navy admitting these things and et cetera. And he goes on to say, look, the best explanation is that we're dealing with interdimensional entities. And then he says, namely the demonic. And he goes on to write about it. And it fits to a T what we have now found with these Navy videos and stuff. So watch this. So John Keel, he's a famed UFO researcher. Dr. Keel, by the way, he doesn't even claim to be a Christian that I know of, but yet listen to what he says. He says, these UFOs do not seem to exist as tangible or manufactured objects. Now, that's what Dr. Hugh Ross said. They do not conform to the natural laws of our environment. That's what Dr. Ross said, who's got a degree in physics. Right? They seem to be nothing more than transmogrifications tailoring themselves to our abilities to understand. Now, I'm sure you know this, but the word transmogrification means a transformation of an object into something that looks humanoid, but it's kind of grotesque looking. It's almost like a monster, okay? And it says that's what's happening, and it says thousands of contacts with these entities over several hundred years indicate that they are liars and put-on artists. Isn't that amazing for somebody that's not even a Christian? He goes on to say, the UFO manifestations. By the way, this guy's been all over History Channel and Science Channel. I mean, this is not just some conspiracy dude. This is a very well-known dude. He says the UFO manifestations seem to be merely minor variations of the age-old demonological phenomena. In other words, he says, look, I'm not a believer in demons, but what we're looking at here seems to line up with what the Bible speaks of concerning demons. And I know that you've heard of Jacques Vallée. I mean, he's probably the most famous UFO researcher of all time. He's a PhD computer scientist and an astronomer. And way back in 1977, here's what he was saying. He says, I'm proposing the hypothesis that there is a control system for human consciousness, a mind control system. He says, I am suggesting that what takes place through these close encounters with UFO is nothing short of the control of human beliefs, control of our relationships between our consciousness and physical reality. It has been a force throughout history, and that's how I started by saying we have records that go back 3,500 years, and it says, and that it is of secondary importance, it should now assume the form of sightings of space visitors. In other words, this force has been there, but it's only of secondary importance that they're now taking on the form of little green men from other planets. And this is amazing. Again, this guy's not a Christian. And anyway, we're running out of time. I could go on with David Michael Jacobs, Nick Redfern, many others. Listen, Dr. Michael Heiser, good friend of mine. I think he might have been on your show.
I know him.
Yeah, a deep theologian and language expert. I mean, he weighs in on this. He comes to the same conclusions. So I'm just saying, look, here's what I say in my book, and I'm just summarizing because we're running out of time. Bottom line, we're being set up, brother. I mean, it's all you hear in the news continually, and now it's mainstream. Now Fox News is talking about it. Now CNN's talking about it, MSNBC. I mean, it's in major headlines, New York Times, etc. They're talking about this phenomena of our UFOs. And then you have scientists and physicists weighing in. You have biblical experts, and you have secular experts, and History Channel and Science Channel experts weighing in and saying, there's something weird about this. This is interdimensional. These manifestations are not coming from other planets. And we Christians say, and even if they are coming from other planets, they are created by God as well. And right. Either they are perverted and fallen, or they're a part of Satan's demonic ruse. Something is being manipulated for the purpose of this manifestation in these last days. Now think about this, brother, and I go into great detail in my book. I can only skim the surface here. But think about these passages, and I'm just going to have to paraphrase them. But think about what Jesus said, last days. There's going to be a delusion that is so strong that even the elect could be deceived if possible. Jesus says, Paul says, they talk about how in the last days people will be dying of heart attacks. Their hearts will fail them as they see what is happening. And it talks about signs in the heavens. And then it says these signs are being done through the power of Satan. It says that in the Bible. These are demonic signs in the heavens. When you tie all of these verses together and you understand that they really are speaking of the same thing. And I've got in my book many dozens of scholars who say this as well. It's not just me making this up. I'm not just pulling a verse out and trying to make it say something. And so when you consider the signs in the heavens, the power of Satan, people having heart attacks when they're seeing it, even believers, if it were possible, they say, oh, my gosh, maybe there are little green men. But then they realize, oh, no, wait, the Bible says that there's a demonic outpouring in the last days. This is demonic. This is interdimensional. And so anyway, I'm just saying, I think that's what we're more than likely dealing with, and I think it is going to play into the rise of the Antichrist kingdom and the setting up of the Antichrist throne, where the whole world worships a leader who can save us and give us, quote, peace and safety. And the Bible says, and when they are crying, peace and safety, that's when sudden destruction will come upon them. Now, the Bible speaks of all of those things. Now, is it UFOs? Well, maybe. I'm not even going to call it UFOs. I'm going to call it a demonic delusion like the world has never seen. And you got to remember, before God destroyed everything with a flood, what was happening? The sons of God were coming unto the daughters of men. All flesh was becoming corrupted. There was a demonic outpouring right before the flood. It was powered by Satan, and it began in the fall in the garden. And God pushed the reset button on that whole world system. And Jesus said, in the last days, it'll be just like the days of Noah. That's what I say about it, brother.
Yeah, amen. Wow. I can't wait to read the book, and I cannot find one word that I disagree with in what you say, and I am open to, you know, other explanation in a sense, you know what I mean, that we just can't possibly know for sure, but that's where I'm at with it. I believe it's interdimensional, the whole ball of wax, and let me throw this in there. I've got about a couple of minutes. I've interviewed people before that on this radio program that had been, well, one had almost been abducted, and the entity came. It was the little gray things, and they came through the wall, right, to get them. And they pled the blood of Jesus, and they went back the way they came. And there's more than one person out there that have had that same experience that were Christians that pled the blood of Jesus, and they went away. Well, if it's little green men from Mars, why are they retreating from the one name above all names? You know what I'm saying, Carl?
Yeah.
So to me, that is convincing proof. Yes. What they are, we don't know, but I'm pretty sure we're getting close to it, because we're not going to be, the Father's not going to allow us to be completely dumb to the situation. He put what we needed to know what it is.
Yes. Anyway. No, I agree, brother. And I've been saying for years, long before, you know, these videos came out with the Navy, and, you know, all these books were written. I've been saying for years that, look, there's something very demonic about this. These manifestations, and what do? They sexually examine people. They basically turn you away from the Word of God. They flee at the name of Jesus. They claim to be our creators. I mean, gosh, that is demonic.
Demonic.
That is Satan.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I can't wait to actually get to read the book, and I know I will in due time, but I'm glad we're on the same page with that, because, yeah, that's where it's at. And they're manifesting more and more, like the snake thing they see in the sky all over the place, and that one, there's lots of pictures of that one. Okay,
yeah.
Carl, well, tell them where they can find you, and I'm going to let you go, and I'm so glad to have had you on tonight.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure. My pleasure. Yeah, they can find me at carlgallops.com. It's as simple as that, carlgallops.com. Everything about me, my books, my church, videos, interviews I'm on, articles I've written, and it's the stuff, the content changes a lot. But, yeah, and my latest book is there, and plus my new book will be coming there very soon. You can get deals from me. You can bulk deals. I'll autograph the books, et cetera, all at carlgallops.com.
All right. Thanks for being on. Goodbye and shalom to you, brother. We'll talk again.
Thank you. Shalom, Pastor Dan.
All right. Well, folks, Pastor Carl Gallops, I always can't wait to get his next book. He's really good at this, especially in identifying who the demonic realm and so is that we need to know right now. We really need to know, and you need to be careful about this UFO thing. We're going to be talking more about it. I'm going to get some other people on. If you know somebody that talks about it, let me know. Folks, I do need to emphasize one thing. Radio, we are suffering from a few different things that we need. Like today, my mouse quit working forever. They're $35 a piece. We need some donations for radio, and I definitely need an up-to-date laptop. It's critical. If I get that up-to-date laptop, I can get my book done sooner, and I can get out to the publishers, and, you know, that'll bring finances for the ministry. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. So pray about supporting radio. Please, we really do need your help. If you make a donation to radio, please mark it as radio, because everything else goes to the Mission Church unless you mark it as radio. Remember, though, folks, there is only one true God. He is your Father, and He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, only through Him is the word of the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is told us to do it in the Bible, and then that's praying for Yeshua's return. There won't be any peace till he does. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Till next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.